This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
A wine in the Umpqua program today. Terry Brandborg at Brandborg Winery. No, wait, I knew. Vineyard and Winery. See? Sometimes I should write these things down. You would think I would know. But thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Oh, a pleasure to be here, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So get a little closer to the mic there. So want to talk about a number of things and just also kind of get an overall update on your take about wine in the Umpqua, having been here for a number of years. So what's your current role in the Wine Growers Association?
I currently serve as president of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association, and our organization is a not-for-profit trade organization that's job is to promote viticulture and wineries and wine tourism for the Umpqua Valley.
And you've been there at Brandborg. How many years ago was that established?
My wife Sue and I arrived in Elkton in 2002.
Wow. So 18 quick years.
Yes, it has flown by in a flash.
And as you look at getting started and to where things are now, not just for Brandborg but for the industry as a whole in the area, very different.
Well, we've seen a tremendous amount of growth here in the Umpqua Valley. When we first arrived, I think we were the eighth or ninth winery in the area. We now have well over 30. I just attended the Oregon Wine Industry Symposium up in Portland, and I wanted to share a quote that the keynote speaker on Tuesday morning, Rob McMillan, Silicon Valley Bank, he does a survey of the of the U.S. wine industry every year. And I thought one quote that was really good was, "Who 15 years ago would have thought Oregon would be the envy of every wine region?"
Wow.
Oregon is one of the few areas in the country now that are seeing growth in both sales and an increase in bottle price. So it's a real rosy picture for Oregon. And in the country, sales have declined some, and there's a bit of an over-inventory situation in both bulk wine and bottled wine. So Oregon is very well situated. It's only 1% of the U.S. industry, but Oregon sees 20% of 90-plus ratings in those magazines that rate wine. So,
wow. You know, a couple of months ago, I was back in Denver for the weekend and just happened across a giant wine store. And one of the things that came out of that, though, was, I didn't have a lot of time to be there, but I wanted to take a look because it was about, well, the wine area was almost as big as the Fred Meyer grocery department. Nothing but wine. Every aisle would be a different varietal. And I was like a kid in a candy store. And so, but I'm looking around, and as it turned out, they had like every price point from all over the place. And there was Oregon wine there in different varietals. And I went essentially looking for it just to see, you know, which of the folks would be there and all of that. And even as I was visiting some folks back there, I mean, the word has gotten out about Oregon. That was one of the questions I got from one of my relatives back there.
Oh, it certainly has. Oregon has done a very good job and well-deserved job for marketing the quality of the wines that are coming out of the whole state. And from here in the Umpqua Valley, we're seeing a lot of increased interest, and we're doing what we can to help promote that. Get some of those influencers here and some media people here and promote the region for all of our wineries and all of our businesses that benefit from tourism coming to the area.
And in the Elkton area, you have, you and the other vineyards in the area have your own AVA because you're really dealing with a climate that's much different than what we have here in the Roseburg area and much of the Umpqua Valley.
Well, I had the pleasure yesterday of introducing Dr. Greg Jones, who received an award at the symposium, and he's the major climatologist in the world. And part of my introduction was, it's one thing to excel in your field. It's another thing entirely to create the field in which you excel. And he's been doing a research project throughout the Umpqua Valley for a number of years now, taking a look at the climates within the area. And between Elkton and Winston, we have almost a growing degree day difference of 1,000, which translates into basically going from Alsace to Rioja and Spain, two very different regions in less than an hour drive. So we thought it important to get the AVA in Elkton is partly to differentiate what's been done there since 72 and Ken Thomas had first planted aromatic cool climate whites and Pinot Noir there. So.
And you're seeing more in the Elkton area, more folks coming in as we are here around the central part of the valley. When you go to an event like that, do you have folks walk up and ask you questions about the area that are part of the industry, but maybe they're from other parts of the state?
We're still on a get the information out curve, and people are getting more curious about this whole region, the Umpqua Valley, all the time. So it's a pleasure to be able to share that and see some continued growth.
Now, talk about what you do at Brandborg. What do you specialize in?
We moved there specifically because the varieties I kind of grew up working with in California, we discovered had been grown there since 72. So in reds, our main focus is Pinot Noir, and whites, we do Riesling, Gewurztraminer, Pinot Gris are the main whites.
And talk about, because you have the different AVA, the rainfall amount is like double of Roseburg, something like that?
Pretty close to that, yeah. It's about 54 inches a year annually, so.
Yeah, and a lot of Roseburg is upper 20s, lower 30s,
yep.
Generally. Yep. So very, very different. In the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association, you've got people that are just getting started, very small, sort of boutique wineries. You've got larger folks. You've got a lot of people in the middle. And you've got a lot of stories from people's background. We've talked about yours a little bit before, but we haven't had you in for a while. But you kind of started out dabbling in this in California when you had a totally different day job.
Well, people go, your day job is really different than the wine industry. I worked on the waterfront in San Francisco for 25 years. And I always chuckle and say, well, I still spend about 40 hours a week on a forklift during harvest, and I'm still moving boxes. They just have my name on them now. So,
So what led you to get interested in the first place?
It was kind of an accident. My uncle and aunt had been home winemakers, and they said, why don't you give it a shot? So in 75, I made my first homemade wine, and in 86, I got my garage bonded as a home occupation. So,
and then how did you select this area as a place to come and do what you're doing now?
Well, I had a lot of fondness for Oregon going back to my first encounter with the area. I was hitchhiking with a backpack and a fly rod in 72 and stumbled upon the North Umpqua River. And then I had friends who moved to the area in the early 80s and got to know some of the early pioneers here, Philippe Giardet and Richard Summers, Scott Henry. And then my first invite to the IPNC up north, the International Pinot Noir Celebration, was in 94, and I started to get to know some of the people up that way. So Oregon had always been kind of, in the forefront of my mind if I thought that I could get out and actually afford some property to start growing some grapes. And when we first laid eyes on Elkton and thought we saw potential there for what we wanted to do, it was a done deal pretty much. So
we're seeing folks come in to plant large plots of land, source the grapes, and not every place where people see grapes being grown for wine is attached to a local winery. You see a lot of diversification with that now in the industry.
Well, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of people who are strictly growers and they supply the industry, and most wineries purchase a fairly large portion of the fruit that they use to turn into wine. So quite a bit of growth in vineyards here. It's about tripled since we first arrived in the last 18 years. So it's good to see. Getting the word out there.
How many acres do you have?
We have just 5 acres of Pinot Noir planted. So we source about 90% of our grapes. And when we arrived here, what we discovered is the Umpqua Valley as a whole, it always exported most of what was grown. And when we started networking with a number of different growers, they kind of went, oh, a half-hour haul or a five-minute haul compared to 4 hours each direction. So we have relationships that go back to our very first years.
We're going to talk about a number of events, a couple of things in particular that are going on, but let's take a break first. Terry Brandborg with us. When we come back, more Wine in the Umpqua and a couple of opportunities to get real close to what's going on with a special celebration and Also, a touring event happening later in the spring. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, coming up on 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Ironically enough, for doing this interview today, as we talk about wine in the Umpqua with Terry Brandborn. KQEN local talk at 4 today is Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits from around the Northwest on Northwest Wine Radio. So listen for that this afternoon. Didn't really plan it that way, but we have a lot of wine going for Thursday, and the way some people's weeks have gone, that might be might be a good thing.
Start the weekend early.
Yeah, there you go. So talk about with the wine growers. You've got two things coming up, and the one's just a few weeks away.
Yeah, we have two major events that we sponsor and promote. And coming up on March 21st is the Greatest of the Grape. It's going to be at Douglas Hall, Douglas County Fairgrounds. This is the 50th anniversary of Greatest of the Grape. And I'd like to share some firsts that have come out of this region with your listeners. This Greatest of the Grape is a continuation of the oldest wine celebration in the Pacific Northwest. And also, we have a number of firsts in right here in the Umpqua Valley that you might not be aware of. The Umpqua Valley is the oldest continuously producing region for vinifera grapes in the Northwest. The first plantings were in 1934, and it's been continuously producing grapes and wine since then. And then Richard Summers at Hillcrest was the first to plant Pinot Noir in 1961, which has become the largest single signature variety of Oregon. And the organization that started, that represents the whole state now, the Oregon Wine Growers Association, started here in the Umpqua Valley in 1968 as well. So there's a lot of firsts here that originated in the Umpqua Valley. We're back at the fairgrounds, our first year returning to Douglas County. We want to promote the businesses of Douglas County in the Roseburg area where this all began. And so we're really thrilled to be back. And we're going to have a great event. It's the decorator, Andrew Calvert, transforms that hall into a grand ballroom. We're going to have live music all night long. And then, of course, the 28 wineries will be pouring their best, paired with our best restaurants from the area. And as it's the 50th anniversary, we're asking people to pull out some of their best wear. And we have a theme called Putting on the Ritz. So if you can imagine that, it's going to be kind of a flapper kind of theme. So if you want to get dressed up like that, we'd love to see you. But we're encouraging people to come out. It's going to be really fun and a really great event. So
how do people get tickets for that?
Look at the our website, umpquavalleywineries.org, or you can call our administrator, Gene Kurtz, directly at 541-673-5323 for tickets. And then coming up shortly after that, on May 2nd, is the barrel tour, which has grown significantly. Our first years here, there were two tours, north and south, and we've expanded that now to a south tour and then two mid-valley tours and a north tour. So we have four separate tours with six buses each and six winery stops on each tour. And the obligation of each participating winery is to have three featured wines with a food pairing. And then some of the wineries will also be sharing some of the other wines that they produce. And so you can leave the driving to the school bus driver, and we have really enthusiastic guides on each of the buses that make the trips in between the wineries fun with some games and trivia games and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really all-day, very fun event to do. So
yeah, last year I did the math with the number of buses, and it was just shy of 1,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people are coming from out of the area now. We have one of our budgets originating up in Cottage Grove to help service the wine enthusiasts from Lane County. And speaking of Lane County, we've been encouraged to try to take our message and our wines outside of the area. So the first time ever, we're going to go and host an Umpqua Valley Winery exclusive tasting in Eugene, and that's going to be November 15th at a new venue called 252. And it's a beautiful event space. We will be able to accommodate up to 700 visitors during that day. So that's going to be a really fun thing to do to help get the word out there about what's going on here.
Now, for the barrel tour, the tickets go on sale when?
They're on sale now.
Okay.
Yep. And we're already filling up buses, so you should do that. One thing I do want to mention for Greatest of the Grape, we extended a discounted price, and that's going through tomorrow, Valentine's Day. So if you want to save a little money on your Greatest of the Grapes tickets, buy them before the end of the day tomorrow.
And you get a couple options there, too, on prices.
Yes. There's VIP tickets, which are more money that gets you in an hour earlier before the crush starts to happen, and then the regular price ticket. So,
crush, wine term. Very good. That's good. Wine humor there.
And we're arranging for out-of-area visitors. The local lodging establishments are going to be running shuttles to and from there and stuff too. So we're trying to make it as convenient as possible for people.
It's really fun. The last few years, my wife and I have been tour guides, and usually about half of the bus is from out of the area. Last year, we had folks from Seattle, Portland, Klamath Falls, Coos Bay, Bend, I think. And a lot of these people come back year after year. Now, they may know someone here that's kind of a part of why they come, but they plan to make a long trip to the Umpqua Valley. And for folks like yourself, people make you guys pretty happy because they tend to buy a lot of wine that day.
Oh, we love to see that, of course. And we love to see them take advantage of the other recreational opportunities that this area has to offer. So we encourage that, and we encourage multiple day stays. And it's great to see people take advantage of everything that we have here.
As tourists come in throughout the year, I have been told by some of the other vineyard owners and winemakers that they're seeing more and more people who essentially make a destination trip of coming here for a weekend or a couple days or whatever.
You know, that's gratifying to see, and that's what we're working towards, is trying to get the word out there that we really do have a lot of worthwhile wines and wineries here, and it's if you're a wine enthusiast, it's certainly worthwhile taking your time to come down and check it out and learn about what we have in the area.
And every place is unique. And I think with vineyards and with wineries, I think about certain types of food or whatever. If you say Italian restaurant, people go, oh, yeah, it probably looks about like this. You know, there's sort of a sense. But every place you go in the Umpqua Valley, everybody's got their own way of doing things. And it's really cool because you don't feel like you're walking into, you know, a bunch of outlets at the same place. Everybody, their personality speaks through even decorations and size and things like that.
Most of the wineries here are relatively small, as is most of Oregon. 75% of the wineries in Oregon are 5,000 cases or less. And that certainly would describe most of our wineries here in the Umpqua. So when you go visit a tasting room, more often than not, you're going to meet the owners and the winemakers behind the counter and be able to share that experience, their experiences with you. So,
now, do you get out of the area as you're working to get your wine out there available for more folks? Do you get out of the state very much?
We've developed distribution in about 25 states nationally. So we spend a fair amount of time on the road out promoting our wines. And, you know, we promote not just ourselves, but the region too, because we want people to pay attention and come out and visit us and keep an eye out for Oregon wines and Umpqua Valley wines in particular.
And that's very unique because in a lot of types of careers, a lot of industries, people are all focused on their company and here's what I can do for you. But I hear that time and time again from all of you folks that I've interviewed. You are competitors, but you seem to look at the greater good that of success for everybody.
Well, Oregon has a great spirit of collaboration, and you know, we haven't gotten to the situation where they're the envy of other regions by doing it alone. So that's very true.
So again, as we get ready to wrap up, for folks for Greatest of the Grape, give them the information again.
Well, you can look at tickets at our website, which is UmpquaValleyWineries.org, UmpquaValleyWineries.org, and or call Jean Kurtz at our administrative office at the UBC, and her number is 541-673-5323.
So tickets available for Greatest of the Grape and also for the barrel tours, and it's going to be a busy spring for you.
We like that.
All right. Terry Brandborg coming in from Elkton this afternoon. Thanks for being on.
Oh, pleasure to be here, Kyle. Thanks for having us.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.